Hello, this is Onika. Welcome back to another episode of my 5-star book review. And y'all, August was a month. If you didn't know, it's a month. And it was a rough month, let me tell you. I was still able to get through 2 books, surprisingly. I don't know how, but I was able to get through 2 books. Unfortunately, as I mentioned, I think in the last episode, I was trying to get back to where after I finish reading a book, I just immediately make a new episode about that one book instead of doing like the monthly episodes where I just talk about the books I read for the month. But so I didn't get a chance to do that this past month. So today I am going to go back to just talking about the books I read for the month, so that I don't get too behind. And so I'm going to share those, talk about them. I'm actually not going to give any spoilers, especially for the second book, just because it was so good and I really definitely recommend it. But then after that, I will then share my next book, which I already have, and that's why I want to go ahead and just talk about the 2 books that I've read, so that I'm not 2 books behind. So, let's get into it. The first book that I read in August is called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, A Counterintuitive Approach to Living a Good Life by Mark Manson. So I've heard of this book. I heard about it for a while. I didn't really think to buy it. I do think it was in my reading list. If not, I meant to put it in there. But yeah, I had heard about this book. I mean, obviously the title is very like, oh, that's, you know, it's different, not safe. Type of book. It's definitely like, okay, that's interesting. That pulls me in. So, but I just never grabbed it. And this book club, the one that had me reading the Zane book from before, they are reading this book and we're going to talk about it in September. So I figured, oh, this is a book I've been hearing about and wanting to read anyway. So I decided to give it a read. I wasn't really sure what to expect. Because, as you know, in a lot of self-help books, they all kind of say the same thing, just in different ways. But just like, I feel like with my weight loss coaching, it's just good for people to hear the same things over and over again for it to stick. And I think that's how it is, at least for me, with these self-help books. I will say I was surprised that I actually liked the book, that I was able to pull some really good nuggets from this book that I really do want to apply to my life. Obviously, it's not easy, but I do want to apply it because I thought it made sense, especially with August just being a rough month. It was just perfect timing for me to read this book. And honestly, I think one of the things that stood out to the most. And if you follow Mark Manson on Instagram, that's where I follow him anyways, after reading the book, he kind of talks about this a lot, but pretty much is like, what are you willing to put, what effort are you willing to put in based on like your values? Like, is this thing that you're, you know, having a fit about or, you know, unhappy about, is it really that important? So he really talks about like finding your, you know, what's actually valuable to you. And that stood out to me because he's pretty much saying like life is hard. There's going to be negative experiences, but which negative route are you willing to put up with? You know, like starting your own business, it's hard. There's going to be a lot of rejection, but are you willing to put the effort in to kind of get to the other side, get to your goals and keep working on the thing that you value because it's important to you? Like what are you going to put up with? and he said it a lot better than me. But that's pretty much what I pulled from it. And I just thought that was brilliant because I feel like I put a lot of thought into things that don't really matter. Like, that doesn't matter. I actually don't care about that. I don't value it. It's not something that's important to me. But here I am, like, getting upset and getting upset at that person or getting upset at myself because I didn't do this, this, and that. But I'm like, that really isn't helping me do this thing over here, which is something that I enjoy and am passionate about and want to grow. So why am I wasting my time with that when I could just be putting all of my effort over here, whether it's, you know, I'm feeling down about it or negative or I'm going through all this stuff, it's something that's important to me. So it almost sounds like just clearing, almost like writing down a list of, you know, things that's going on in your life and kind of putting next to it, like, is this important? Is this not important? Do I need to give a shit about this? Do I need to give a fuck about this? No? Okay. Moving on. And I really have to take that approach, especially when just with work and just things that are disappointing. Another thing that he mentioned, because I was thinking about like weight loss and stuff, he was talking about this one guy who was in a band, and I think he got kicked out or he left or something like that, and he wanted to have a greater band than the band that he left or got kicked out of. And his band went off to be really successful, but the band that he left was like even more successful. So he was never happy because he kept putting his value and his worth into something external, something that he couldn't control. He couldn't control how many people bought his record compared to the other band. So instead of just being kind of valuing like, oh, I have a great relationship with my band, the fans are enjoying my music, like I still have a job, I have, you know, a life that I want, I'm able to, provide for my family, things like that. He didn't put value in. He put value in external things like, how famous am I compared to this person, to this band? How many copies, how many records have I sold compared to this one? So he was never happy because that band did better than his by his standard. And so I thought, I mean, obviously that's just a good reminder of like, don't compare yourself to other people. And also don't put your value into things that you can't even control. There are a lot of things that are outside of our control. And so, and to put value in it, you might never be happy. Maybe you will. Maybe you will. But you might not. And if that's the gamble you want to take, go ahead. Or you can put value into something that's a bit more internal. So, anywho, I thought there were a lot of good nuggets in the book. A lot of good, just another good perspective on life. So yeah, I'm looking at my notes here and I'm like, I need to reread these notes. I'd be writing them and I'm like, do I need to reread them? But yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in here. Yep. There was obviously another story. I feel like I always read a book where it mentions something. I'm like, I want to read that. And he was talking about this guy, Hiro Onoda. He's Japanese. He was fighting in the Philippines during World War One. No, World War Two. I think it was World War II. Lord. But he was talking about that person. I'm like, wow, that's an interesting story because he pretty much was fighting in the Philippines like long after the war ended and he had no idea. He was just kind of doing his duty. And I was like, that's an interesting story. So, anywho, all that to say, The Subtle Arts of Not Giving a Fuck by Mark Manson, I thought was a really good book. And I give it a 4 out of 5. I could give it the full 5 out of 5, but not everything in it I was like crazy about. But either way, it's a good book and I recommend it. So yeah, that was the first book that I read. And now I'm going to get into the second book that I read. Okay, so the second book that I read in August is called In the Heart of the Sea by Nathaniel Philbrick. Now, this book I mentioned when I finished reading the book about the first 6 Black millionaires. In that book, it was talking about Nantucket and how it was a booming, welling city. And they would go and kill whales for the oil to be able to have light in the town. And that just blew my mind because I had no idea that they were killing whales back in the day to have light. I just didn't know that. And so that got me interested. And I found this book and I had it in my book list to read about it. Basically, the book talks about the whaling business in Nantucket, but it's mainly about a ship that was attacked by a sperm whale, and pretty much the crew was stranded. They had these like 3 little boats because their bigger boat sank from the whale. And so it was pretty much about survival, like how long could they survive before they were rescued or found land, because they were in the middle of the ocean. And what was interesting about this story is that this story is what inspired Moby Dick. I actually have not read Moby Dick, but this story, about this ship in Nantucket with this crew is what inspired Herman Melville's Moby Dick. So if you have read Moby Dick, then I think this is a good book to get the like real real facts about it. And 2 of the people in the book actually wrote a book, Owen Chase. So there's already 2 people that you know survive because the author talks about referencing their stories. So Owen Chase and I think Thomas Nickerson, they both end up writing books that are out there that share their experience from that time. But y'all, oh my gosh, I knew this book was going to be good. I just enjoyed it so much. I will say, though, at the beginning, it was getting into details about the boat and, like, the different sails on the boat. There's a top sail and a main sail and a this sail, that sail. And I was like, I don't know if I care that much. I don't really think it was that important later on in the book to know that, but you know, it had a lot of sales. I did appreciate there's a lot of pictures in the book. Like there's, well, I wouldn't say a lot, but there's pictures in the book. And y'all know how I feel about nonfiction books and pictures. Like, I feel like that's important. But there are pictures of like the map and their course, which I found very helpful. There were a few things in the story that really made me upset. Nothing to do with the writer, but just I'm like, why? Maybe more people could have survived if y'all, you know, did this. So basically, they had 3 whale boats. There were a lot of decisions made where I'm like, possibly more people could have survived. But I'm telling you, read the book. But 2 of the boats had like a compass and a navigation book. 1 boat didn't. And for whatever reason, they didn't give that the second mate of that boat. There was the captain, the first mate, and the second mate. And so after they got attacked, for whatever reason, they didn't give the second mate a compass or even a navigation guide. And I'm like, I don't understand why they didn't do that. Now, I know on that boat, so they were the captains and the first mates. They, obviously, the captain had first pick of who would be on their boat. Because when they're going out. If they spot a whale, they will lower these little whale boats from the bigger ship, and they will go and, like, follow the whale and attack it. And so the captain, the first mate, and the second mate all had kind of a team. And so at the beginning, they all picked their team. And unfortunately for this boat, they had a lot of new people. I can't remember if they called them green hands or green sails, but they were a lot of new people that didn't really know how to, you know, do the things that people on the boats do, like, you know, pulling up the sails and just being quick. They eventually learned, obviously. But since the captain had first pick, and then the first mate, and then the second mate, the captain and the first mate kind of got more locals, so more people from Nantucket, so they, you know, were friends or just people that they knew and maybe could trust it. Whereas the second mate, he kind of had last pick, and so he got a lot of the green thumbs, or whatever they call them. And so he got a lot of the African Americans that they, the town had called earlier saying that they needed people to help kill whales. And so I think that honestly was probably the reason why that third boat didn't get in the navigation system. But I was like, that's terrible. That's so annoying that, well, anywho, I don't want to spoil too much because I think the book is just really good. And you really, obviously, like I say, you know, two people survive just because the author references that they made a story, but you don't know if, like, the other 20 crew members survive. And when you're reading it, I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if only those two people survived, because I'm like, they were out just aimlessly at sea. They were trying to make, I think later on, they really started to get into, like, the latitude and longitude so they could figure out if they were close to land or anything like that. But, you know, they were in these little boats, and sometimes the wind would blow in the wrong direction. Sometimes the wind wasn't blowing at all. And then because their boat sank, they only had so much food that they could pull from the boat before it completely sank. And so they were starving and they were dehydrated. And it talks about, like, you know, at the very beginning, it talks about finding two people in a boat and the skeletons of their crew members. Because, I mean, there's stories about that, having to, like, eat your crew member to survive, like, if they died. So it's such a good story. I can't even believe that this happened. But I think it's well written, easy to read. Beyond all the different sales he was talking about at the beginning. But I highly enjoyed this book. I was a little late finishing it, but once I kind of sat down in my bed and just started reading, it just, I couldn't put it down because I was like, are they going to make it? Are they going to survive? What's going to happen? So yeah. And then surprisingly, well, no, that's a spoiler. I was going to say something about the end, but yeah, I highly recommend it. For In the Heart of the Sea by Nathaniel Philbrick. I definitely give it a 5 out of 5. I've been really excited about reading this book, so, and it did not disappoint. So I feel like August, even though it was a rough month personally and work stuff, the books at least that I was reading, that was definitely a highlight of the month. I read two really good books, so happy about that. So again, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck was a 4 out of 5, and then In the Heart of the Sea, a 5 out of 5. So both books I highly recommend. So let's get into the next book that I will be reading. The next book that I will be reading is another book that's been in my book list for quite a while. I got into this person maybe a couple of years ago. I found their YouTube channel, and some of her videos resonated with me. And so I followed her on Instagram, and I heard about this book that she came up with. And I'm like, oh, that's an interesting concept, interesting way to get things done. So the next book that I will be reading is called The 5-Second Rule The Fastest Way to Change Your Life by Mel Robbins. So I feel like when she first came out with this book, it, you know, she was talking about it a lot. I pretty much already know what it is. I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, do I really need to read the book about it? But I know in the book there's kind of, she has a lot of examples, and I don't know, that's just encouraging. It's just one of those like inspirational books, I believe. Because see, even now I turn to a page and it's this guy with the big belly. And then there's an after picture of him, like, clearly lost weight and just changed his ways. So, it just seems like an inspirational type of book and something that I could use. Because I know sometimes I lay in bed and I'm like, do I want to get up this morning? Like, just dragging my feet and then falling back to sleep. So, we'll see if, you know, after I read, I can apply this 5-second rule to my life. But I think it'll be a good read, and I like Mel Robbins. So far, based on last month, I kind of like this pattern that I have where I'm doing like a self-help book and then one of my non-fiction historical books. So this will be my kind of self-help book for the month of September. And then hopefully if I get through it in a decent time, I can read one of my non-fiction historical books. I already have an idea of which, there's two that I'm thinking about for the historical, my non-fiction book. So I have to narrow it down. But either way, my next book for right now is going to be this 5-second rule. So I look forward to sharing more about this book in the next episode. Thank y'all again for listening. Bye.